Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Hope we have all had a good week so far. Hallelujah. How has your week been? Amen. Hallelujah. All right, this evening, briefly, we'll just look at God's word. Amen. Now I understand why sometimes Pastor Mewa will preach and there will be no topic for the message. Hallelujah. A lot will just come into my head. I say, oh, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Amen. I'm just going to talk on the impact of God's word. The impact of God's word. Hallelujah. The impact of God's word. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember when we're having a program once and a bishop made a statement. He said, if I knew what I know now, if I knew what I know now, I won't need, and I'm a woman, I won't need a man to get pregnant. Hallelujah. Amen. You didn't get that. You know, we are so glued to the natural way of doing things. So people just feel, in order to have a child, you must have, as a man, you must have a woman in your life, and then a child will come. Or as a woman, you must have a husband, and then a child will come. Yes, all those natural things we understand. But what the point from which he was speaking is, he has come to know God to that point where if you cut him now, he said he believes that he can speak to his flesh and say, cover up, and it will cover up. Yes, it depends on everybody. We all have our different levels of operations and faith. I've heard some very crazy things that the late Archbishop Benson Idahosa did. Crazy things that, if not because of understanding of God's word, that we know that, yes, we can bet our lives on it, that it's God's word and it is real and it is working, you will want to ask questions that, And that's why I'm talking about this tonight, because all over now, people just try to make it look like you want to examine God's, the kind of things that's happening. You hear miracles, you hear mighty things, mighty deeds. And then they want to like, no, now we not be mumu now, no, not the wine us like this now. Mm-mm. Then you don't understand, because the Bible itself says that the people of the world, they can't understand the things of the spirit, because to them it's foolishness. They don't understand, so they want to judge it by the natural sense. They want to tell you, one plus one, they turn three. It's supposed to be two now. No, for us, it cannot be as natural as the world thinks. For us, it's a different ball game. It's a different ball game. Not be magic, not be juju, but one plus one can be four. It is possible. Yes. Amen. Yes. And that's why we receive God's word with open mind. Open mind. Hallelujah. Let's see the book of Acts. Before I go there, I would just like to talk about this story. So put the book of Acts chapter 20 on one hand. According to Pastor Muyua, just put it on your left hand. Hold it there. So Luke chapter 15. Just want to show us something. Luke chapter 15 from verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him, and the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servant, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandal on his feet.'" That means the boy himself had no clothes on his back anymore. The boy had no shoes to wear anymore. He had become so broke that he had sold everything he practically had. He said, "And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before I go further, there's a question I want to ask, and I really need answers from us. So, if you were the father of that boy, the boy said, it was the boy who said, who thought in his mind that I would go to my father, and even in the midst of all these things that had happened, even if he would just only hire me, even if he would just hire me as one of his servants, I'm fine. I'm ready to work as a servant now because I collected all my possessions and I've squandered them. Now I'm broke. I'm left with nothing. If you were to judge, if the father had hired him, would you say that's cruel? Would you say that's too hard? Is it bad? Do you think it's bad? I want to answer. I'm serious. I want to answer. In your own judgment, if the father had hired him like the boy thought, because he said to himself he would go to his father and ask that he be hired as one of his father's servants, seeing that the servants are doing very, very well, better than his current state, would it have been out of place for the father to hire him? Would the father have been seen as a wicked man, hard man? How can he hire his own son? How can he place his son on salary like his servants? Would it have been bad? No. Okay, good. Praise God. Thank you for your answers. Hallelujah. Amen. Many times, in our own wisdom, we do so many things. Even sometimes when the Spirit of God is giving us, we shove it. I was like, no, this is my thing. Let me do my thing. But there's one thing I love about God the Father. Just like this Father. If it's many fathers, then we hire the guy. Say, you have lived, you have wasted your life. So this life now is a borrowed one. In fact, they will put strict measure. Put one servant, say, for all keep tab on him. He's a useless son after all. Keep tab on him. But we have this merciful father who shows us love, shows us beyond what we even really, truly deserve. His grace and mercy alone that we enjoy is unimaginable. Because in our own way, in our own wisdom, we have done many things that we cannot count. Many things. Many. I once strayed from home, so I know exactly what this boy went through. Straight from home. No, you just get to a point, you're like, I beg, I don't have this answer. I beg, I go come out one day. One day my children said to me, one day we will leave this house. We will grow and leave this house. Because sometimes they can't understand. They have to play by your rules. It's your house. So one day they say, one day, shall be me, I will become daddy one day. Me, I will become mommy one day. Soon they will be reporting to you. They say, daddy, I saw where one woman was complaining seriously about her daughter. Her own mother was there. Her mother was just shaking her head and just laughing. Of course, you can tell why the mother was laughing. She did worse than that when she was young, when she was that girl's age. Now she's complaining, and the girl has not even done a fraction of what. But that's just God. For God is just so, that's what makes him God. He's a loving father, irrespective of the things we've done. Irrespective of the things, I got to a point I was tired of staying outside. But shame wouldn't let me go back home. And so finally, when it's got to be that my mother has been looking for me, she's been looking for me, she's been crying, say, hey, make I do this woman, but I lie, pepe, na me, the pepe, because I was not seeing sometimes in my house. Hey, hungry, don't they beat me for food, they come. Now I'm looking for food. And so I got back home. My mom was happy, ran to the road, embraced me and everything, and said, yeah, let's go home. I said, they for front, they go, oh boy, here I am. I said, if you disappear again, hallelujah. We have a loving father. Hallelujah. All right, so let's go to Acts 20. Acts 20. Yes. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So the impact of God's word. Acts 20, verse 32 says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Hallelujah. To God and the word of his grace. When you are in God's hands, you can never have, like they say, a better yesterday, because he said daily he loads us with what? Benefits. You can never have a better yesterday. Your today will be better than yesterday. Your tomorrow will be better than today. So it's a beautiful day. So he said that he will so bless our lives that it keeps getting brighter and brighter unto what? A perfect day. Hallelujah. Yes, daily he loads us with benefits. And so we'll see our lives shining brighter, brighter unto a perfect day. Commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. This word of grace is able to build you up, because his word of grace it carries all of those things that we can count as qualities of God. You will see mercy there. You will see compassion there. You will see how he gives you opportunities and opportunities and opportunities. This one, give me one more chance. I will not fail. And you still fail. Yet, he still gives you another opportunity. Say, this last time. This, if I do this thing again, this last time. Just this last time. Have you not done it again after that last time? Yes. Another last time? Yes. Yet, word of his grace, his mercy is in there. He gives you another page again and cleans you like you never did anything wrong before. Hallelujah. Let's see the book of James. James chapter 1. James 1, 20. He said, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I've met a lot of people who, when you do some things and they want to deal with you, hey, they do it like they are acting on God's behalf. You've not seen those people who are like God's, what do you call them now? Like they are the class prefect of the Holy Spirit. Why should you even? And you know, as humans, there's always a tendency to sleep. Yes, because you are frail. But when they want to popo you, growth is very, very essential. That we know. And that's why the Bible says, let him that think he stands, take heed, lest he fall. But when they will so hammer you, they hammer you like you are supposed to be infallible. But that's not God. He said, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The anger of man. What other word can I use for wrath? It does not produce the righteousness of God. And that's why in verse 19, we were admonished that as brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, slow to anger. Because you can so get angry to the point that it becomes sin itself. Now you think you were acting in God's stead. Now you begin to offend God by your actions. Somebody has just heard and they say, hey, Mickey, go die. That's not you speaking. That is wrath. That's anger speaking through you. May we not give room to the devil in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. So God's word has the capacity to build us, help us. I'm looking for a word. It has the capacity to impregnate us. Yes, because I learned something from God's word, from Paul's epistle, that, you know, just like the Bible said earlier on that we have the mind of Christ, even the things that people can just see you now and say, ah, William, not Sabi run. You know, who Sabi play ball, self. You don't see William play ball before. Uh-huh. So in your mind, you're saying, no, you're not Sabi play ball. He can only climb tree. So you've judged him according to what you see, his capacity. But you'll be shocked. Eh? When he hear, oh, he go take off, leave. I saw one video. I think it's a skit, though. The guy was on a wheelchair and on the road. So, there was, I don't know what they call it, siren and blah, blah, blah. You know, there was gunshot and all that. See what they will share. 9 days for front. He don't overtake everybody. It was a skit though, but it happens. It happens. You'll be amazed that the person you think, you see mama for your front, don't they take off? So, but the point I'm trying to bring out here is that God's power in us, once we load ourselves with God's word and his spirit in us, it has a capacity to begin to birth things that you think you could not even do. You begin to see yourself putting some things down. Say, I don't know say I feel draw like this. Oh, I don't know say I feel plan like this. Oh, I've never taken this class before, but I cannot draw so kind of thing. You begin to put some things in place. Hallelujah. Just like I always testify, one of my dreadest, one of the fear I've ever had in my life was the fear of the fear of failure in marriage. Hallelujah. But I thank God. That's why I'm always grateful. It's one of my biggest testimony for how God planted me here. Because it's clear now, I can testify about it because of what I'm seeing and because of what's happening. Otherwise, somebody say, you cannot carry, what's it called? You cannot carry Oyibo, pure white. When you know, say, yes, this one are pure Oyibo, carry them, enter Lagos, make all of a sudden just turn Yoruba person. You see and say, you don't color, you don't black. They chop pepper. They do everything. You say if you go run, say, this one that has never been to Africa before. All of a sudden, he just saying, just speak for you and everything. And then they do you things where you say, go say, come. I'm suspecting you. Why? Because from the roots, those things are not expected. But the point clearly is that because you have God's word and you have his spirit on your inside, it begins to birth things to the shocking of the world. It begins to birth things through you. Even you will be amazed at yourself that, according to one of my guys, say, it's maybe this. You will begin to wonder, now maybe this. Yes, it's God working in us both to will and do of his good pleasure. So change is possible. That's why that boy was begging to just be a slave, to just be hired as one of what he got was that treatment of royalty. Say, no, you don't belong to the floor. You belong here. Upon all that is squandered. So that means he was given a fresh slate again. So you can imagine why the brother was angry. A fresh slate, like he did nothing wrong. And that's what we enjoy. It's not meant to be abused, but that's what we should always be grateful for, that we have a God who gives us opportunities over and over and again. Amen. James, in the book of James, still, if you look at from verse 21, he was saying, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. So he said, all those naughtiness, all those nonsense and everything that you know, put them aside. Put them aside. You don't need them. So receive with meekness the implanted word of God. So once you receive God's word on your inside and his spirit is in your life, you have the capacity to be impregnated with God's idea and you begin to do what you never thought you could ever do. Have I experienced it? Yes. I've seen it. To the point that now, I'm a marriage counselor to a full community and families, both back home and even here. Yes. And then sometimes, out of the multitude of all those things, they're like, wow, how come I never knew this? And these are me, myself, I don't know him before. I don't know him. It is God, through his word and the people he has planted in my life, that I came to know these things. And so that means God's word is working, because if it has passed from one life to the other, to the other, to the other, and it's happening repeatedly, that means it's working. So if it's not working for me, I have to check very well. What am I not doing? What am I not doing right? There must be something. Something is wrong somewhere. Because if the same teacher that taught pastor, for instance, is the teacher that taught the other people that are behind him, and then he passed with an A. Mrs. D passed with A. Temelua passed with A. And then Tolu is coming with E. We should be able to question, madam, where are you missing it? Are you getting my point? Something must be, it's either the teacher has changed or you are the one not catching up. We must. So God's word is infallible. His word is ever true and sure. So if it's not working for me, I need to check how I'm looking at it. Why I'm saying this is because right now in the society, you see people, I've come across a lot of people who, when you ask them, if the words that they say will shock you. One was greeting my mom one day and he said, my mom said, good morning. He said, good morning by fire. And I wonder, where is this coming from? What's good morning by fire? Is the fire going to hold the good money or is it going to make it? I don't understand. Good morning by fire. Because if you not put the fire, even if you greet the person self, even if I can greet a native doctor, good morning. So the fire you are using to greet the native doctor, is it going to burn the man or you want to burn him to death? I don't understand. Where is the fire coming from? Madam, good night to good night by fire. So where is the place of love? How do you reach out to those people? May God help us in Jesus' name. So, receive God's word with meekness, which is able to save your soul. 22 say, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So like I was saying, the example I gave, this God's word passed down from our fathers to us is still the same word, but it's changing and transforming lives and helping people to achieve great things. Amen. I've heard testimonies of people who say, this course is hard. I don't know it, but I'm strongly going to depend on the Holy Spirit. And they go, and the Holy Spirit helps them. Not because the Holy Spirit go write the exam for them. But there's also what is called receiving of grace to understand. Hallelujah. I've handled cases where I know this is tough. It's not even my terrain. But then I step aside and I pray. I say, Holy Spirit, help me. I don't want to leave this person stranded, but I don't know what to do. The Holy Spirit, that's where he helps us. And at the time you're looking at the matter, you are coming with a different response. And you are at the time you're done, the person is like, wow, thank you. I'm so glad that I came to you. It's not because you are the right person he met. The truth is that it's because you have the right person who is helping you to answer that thing at that time. Hallelujah. I think it was Pastor who also shared how he was going to write this exam. And he prayed. He said, Lord, help me. I think it was an exam or test. I can't remember. But I think what he was saying was that as voluminous as the book was, he was directed to certain chapters, certain topics. And those were the exact topics that came. Not be saying, not really, read that more. The Holy Spirit helped him and said, okay, take this topic, the impact of God's word. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, jump to the next topic. Oh, yeah, the efficacy of God's word. Oh, yeah, jump to the next one. He read. After he read, those were exactly the things that came. Did he call the lecturer to know what he was setting? No. But the Holy Spirit, who knows the mind of the lecturer, who knows what is coming, has directed his son here, God's son here. Say, no, do this, go to the right. And we have also heard testimonies a number of times here, how somebody wants to hit the road. And he say, okay, let me go this way. And even when the map is telling you this, you see, by the nudging on your inside, by the leading of the Spirit, he's saying, no, take this route. And then you take that route. And then only for you to get, he's saying, wow, thank God I obeyed. And then you are seeing where you would have passed. You are seeing red, you're seeing traffic, and you're like, hey, it's good to obey the Spirit, oh, hallelujah. Amen. See, when you feed on God's word and you obey the Holy Spirit, it makes life sweet. People begin to ask you, how did you know? That's what people will be asking. How come? How did it? Because whatever you're doing now looks so easy. Remember a number of times when Pastor would testify and share with us that, they brought this thing, it's so difficult to, but that he just did it. So for the eyes of, in the eyes of the people that he did it for, they say, easy peasy, engineer, he just did it. No. It's because he's following the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has given him the expo, the shukuli, so he knows where the stones are placed. He's working on water. He says, magician, they do magic. It's not magic. So my point is, when you obey the Holy Spirit and you have God's word on your inside, it just makes, it's like you want to pass through. Have you seen that video where somebody was going to run through a door and it's a transparent door, but there's glass. He didn't know that there's glass. So he wanted to run and he hit the glass and bounced back. The Holy Spirit helps you to see through. You see everything the way it should be. So people around you are not seeing. They are not seeing. They can't even sense. They can't even see danger. But you are seeing. You're seeing everything. So when you are talking based on your ability to see. But people may not understand. People that are around may not even understand. Say, why Collins think like this? Why he make this decision? They will not understand. But you know what you know. And who is helping you? The Holy Spirit. So we can't do without him. We cannot. We cannot. Because he's the expo. He's the secret. So that's why the Bible calls us custodians of divine mysteries. We can know deep secrets because we have him. Because we have him. My wife was sharing something with me a couple of days ago. And she said, she was praying and she saw this. And it was only later when she got to a point where now, in reality, when some things happen, and like, okay. This is what the Holy Spirit was trying to show me. If you don't have that kind of relationship, you go waka in tagota. But because she had seen it, that's why the Bible says we are custodians of divine mysteries. Don't play with your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because you see that relationship, it has the capacity to save your life. Don't enter that car. If you play with the relationship, you will miss that instruction. And then you just enter, you did this gala the pass, you did call, carry cook, you did drink, you did the instruction has been given. Don't enter that car. You're not here because gala the pass here, egro the pass here, cook the pass. And so you miss defined instructions. And then you enter. And then you're like, how did I miss this? How did it happen? Instructions are given. Instructions are given. And are expected to be taken. But you missed it. Why? Because you think you made caricature of the relationship. No, it can't be the Holy Spirit. Why? Because your own mind is speaking and dominating you. No, it's not the Holy Spirit. No, it's not the Holy Spirit. So you come to church and even the Holy Spirit is telling you, pay attention to God's word. Pay attention to God's word. Say, no, hello, Anna. Hey, pastor. Familiarity. We're not saying don't greet people in church. We always encourage people to greet. But there are times for clear instructions, when it's time for instructions. Amen. I don't joke with it. Even my relationship with my pastor, I don't joke with it. Because you have the tendency to miss certain informations, certain instructions, and you will pay for it early. So I take it very, very seriously. I come to church, I come with my notes and my pen. I must write. If I forget Barrow, Natalie, I will call them. I know how many Natalie Barrow I don't carry glass. I will borrow Barrow and write. Why? You must not miss instructions. It's important. When you are in class, in school, don't you write? Yes. Why? Because you do revision. So if I come to church and I just sit like that, pastor is talking and I'm doing like, my head is this thing. I have capacity to contain all that he's saying. When I go home, what am I going to reverse? What am I going to read? Or what am I going to emphasize? And then I haven't go through that same recording again. And I go back again to the word. Just like the Berean Christians. Go through it. Search it. Because God is still going to speak and he's still speaking to you. And then you have more. Sometimes, pastor could speak for 30 minutes, but what thing I don't write? Pages don't fall. Like, ah, somebody look at my book when he say, now pastor, talk about this plenty. Now you know what you hear, and I mean know what I hear. Amen. And that's just God for you. Pastor could come here and he's talking and he's preaching and he's giving his example and he's talking. But the Holy Spirit is also telling you things. And so if you are the ones who take note, he will pass through there. The way he speaks to me is not the way he speaks to my wife. We have two different... When it comes to the spiritual, I'll not be marital. The way he speaks with me, the way he deals with me, is different from the way he speaks with my wife. The way she will perceive and get message from the Holy Spirit is different from the way I do. So you must find what works for you. The way the Holy Spirit connects with you, the way he gives you instruction, find it. My own. Pastor could even be singing. No, pastor, when you are like singing, when you don't hold my words, he could be singing. God could drop something. I'll take my Bible. I will write them. Why? That could be the only thing why he brought me to church that day. Amen. But if you miss it, so there's a tendency to say, okay, no, it's pastor is singing. Oh, and then you just dance away. Instruction just passed. You just missed it. So find it. It could be in the place of prayer. Somebody's praying. Before, I don't know how to pray. Oh. Before, I didn't know how to pray. So, I'll wait. The pastor is praying. I'll be praying. As he's praying, I'll be praying. Before, if I want to pray, sometimes I will forget what I'm going to pray about. But then, I started learning. I said, no, I have to put my heart to it. I have to learn it. Not to say pastor and spirit, we all grew. We all grew from level to level. Amen. If not, if you think like that, you say, no, like somebody said one day, no, it's because they leave pastor. Leave pastor. Yeah. You too, you can grow. Find the way. Tell him, Holy Spirit, I want to grow. Holy Spirit, I want to hear you. Holy Spirit, this thing where they talk every time, so he blessing our specific people. I want to miss them. I want to feel them. I want to see them. And then you will just see. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it wasn't in church. They laid hands and did everything. Everybody went home. I go home and say, Holy Spirit, today, me and you. I carry Joko. I sit down. Me and you today. Today. This one, I must be filled. Study this word. Open those same scriptures that had been talked about earlier in church. And I open it and say, is it free? Oh, yeah. I'm ready. I'm willing. I'm hungry. I want it. After I prayed, settled in my mind, I went to sleep. As I was sleeping, I was praying in the dream. I was praying and I burst in tongues from the dream. And I opened, as I burst in tongues, enter reality. Amen. So find him. Everything and anything you need, it's here in the scripture. It's in God's word. So God, they say you heal people. Can't be having this pain. I've told you about it. It ought to have gone by now. It's there. He said, healing is your right. Oh, yeah. Healing is the children's bread. God, I don't chop your word, though. This sickness can't be in this body. It works. His word works. Hallelujah. His word works. I shared a testimony here how I was built for surgery. Doctor just tell me, say, make a go lie down for this thing that will come out. Surgery. I said, no, it won't happen. On Sunday, I have to be in church. Communion service. I took the communion and that was the end. That was the end. Come and do your test and everything. Check in. Look me. Only you go to look me. You go to wonder, say, what happened here? Yeah. Come and join me. You will see. Praise the Lord. We shouldn't just take everything as they come, hook, line, and sinker. No. I was somewhere, someone was just saying nonsense. But say after that, say, Holy Spirit, I just gently got up because I said, first of all, spoil my let anger can't jump better. I just got up and just left him there in his ignorance. I had a brother who, because of some things that happened to him, he started, sometimes when something happens to some people, they'll begin to talk anyhow about church. Say, church, there's also money they collect, and this, that, and I said, but did they do you? So he won't stop. He would say, and he will always say it so that I will hear, so that I'll be angry. I gently, to save myself, I cut him off. He was surprised. He asked me, he said, you block me? I said, block you here. I said, if I won't block you, I'll block you over Facebook, WhatsApp, even for life, self, I can block you. I said, but I didn't block you. But I'm tired of all those your nonsense you're saying. Yes, because I'm guarding my own soul. I don't want that nonsense. Until one day, he was not the one telling me that, God is good. Oh. I said, just me, let me know. Now, hey, now this kind of thing I want to hear. Say, I'm not saying you're here, the opener. I said, yes, tell me. Amen. That is it. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. But some people will sit there and you will hear all manner, so you won't contribute. Where you cannot sit so that they talk to your say nonsense about your physical father or sibling, you will sit there and they will be castigating God. And then you add your mouth too, saying, God don't serve too much. May God help us in Jesus' name. As I get ready to close, let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So let's not be like those who look at the word of God and then go and forget what they look at, who look at the mirror and forget what they saw, their image that they saw. But we must always carry in us as we move about that image that we are. Whose image we are. We are God's very image. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Okay. He said that, verse 5, sorry. Okay, let me take it from verse 4. Verse 4. He said, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words. Another word said, it's not with enticing words. Persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. See, when you eat God's word, and you allow yourself to be filled with the Spirit of God, like I said, you see that life is sweet. Because it's not you that will be boldly going and saying, you want to show that you have power. You will just, the things you do, even without demonstrating, people will just see that godliness. People will just see, like, you are different. You are different. People will just, they will just begin to, you are different. Even where they've known you before, as Ragado, when they say, something changed about you. Something has really changed. Amen. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I remember the late Archbishop Benson that also told us of how he would ride on a bicycle going from village to village. Going from village to village, looking for somebody that is sick or somebody that is dead, the dead that he will raise, the sick that he will pray for and lay hands on and raise them. Hallelujah. In the demonstration of the power of God. I think it was Paul who said, I'll make my boast in the Lord. Amen. How bold are you to declare your stand and who you are? We know even they not here to say when you fear to even carry Bible goes on. No, even here. How bold are you to tell somebody that I'm a child of God? I'm a kingdom light. I represent Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you are not bold to do that, you never start. That's the truth. I think it was Pastor also that was sharing that something happened. And somebody said, somebody, the person just coincidentally here when somebody called him, said, Pastor, said, I talk calm. Your life It's a signboard. It's a billboard for the kingdom. And people must, when they see it, because it reflects Christ, they must know. They will surely know. You don't even know how many people you are ministering to unknowingly, effortlessly. Effortlessly. I had to stop a guy, one of my colleagues, from calling me a certain name because it's a workplace. I said, no. He said, but it's what it is now. I said, no, I don't need it. Your life should reflect Christ. Amen. Your life should reflect Christ. If somebody carry carton of gala pass now, you know say na gala be that. Abi? Yeah, you know. When you pass, what will people think? What comes to the mind of people? A guy is passing by and there's people are in a party. The guy was just passing by. Maybe because of the way he dressed and the way his eyes are red and if you see his lips and everything, everybody who dropped their phone began to put their phone inside their bag. When you pass, what happens to people? I had a story of somebody who wanted to take a house, wanted to move into a new house. And then when he went to the house and looked at a particular place, he saw what he felt in that room when he entered. He said, a praying person lived here before. So when people pass you or meet you in the vehicle or anywhere, workplace, what do you leave there? What impression do you leave with them? Let's rise up on our feet. The natural man cannot understand the things of the spirit. But we have been fully loaded. And that's why he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind? Godly mind, kingdom-minded. Hallelujah. We're going to pray this night. What are we praying about? Lord, I want to be so filled with your presence, filled with your word, filled with your spirit, that everywhere I go, I want to carry that very presence of God. I don't want to just look at my, be like that man who looks at himself in the mirror and forgets who he was. I want to always remember everywhere I go that I am the son of God. I'm a child of God. I'm the daughter of God. I'm a kingdom light. I'm the salt of the earth. I'm the light of the world. Everywhere I go, I want to make impact. I want to make a formidable impact. I want people to see and know and have that sense of seeing Christ in me. I want to truly be seen. Let it be evidence that, yes, I'm a custodian of God's mystery, of kingdom mysteries. I carry God's life in me. Bakande zitali bados. Lebreno somnali makada yada boshta. Elebenda baktamante fikados. Likaradados. Zondevrene mosh karadados. Elebonda branamande rebos kareyana masarayados. I want to represent your very existence, your very reason for existing. Elaman de vreno no subtaya, that you will show up yourself. You will show yourself through me. Le palaman de vreno no soreya. Just like your words say that this is Christ living through us, through us, through us. Le man de vreno no sothe inabada da dosh. Make me an evidence, le palamande ya, for the kingdom, le palamande vreno no soreya, le pakadamande vreno no soreya da bosha. When I come across situations, when I come across challenges, when I come across the sick, when I come across depressed people, elamande vreno no soreya, let me be your outstretched arm. Your outstretched arm, elamoka parayados, that will lift people from their state. From that depressed state, from that oppressed state, from that sick state, from that dead state. Let the life of Christ in me, let it spring up and let it come into them and give life to their mortal bodies. Le paraman devreno copanda badados, le banda hidado shadado soria. That I will carry the fire of the Holy Ghost everywhere I go. Le man devreno no soria, light in every life. Light in every life that I come across, and a man the brain and all making a great impact, making a great impact. Le band the brain and all sota li kada those.
Leaving people healed. Leaving people encouraged and lifted up. Strengthened. Revitalized. Thank you, mighty God. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Glory to you, Father. Thank you, Abba, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.